Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. I am Jeff Barton, and this is your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show as we bring to you at the latter half or last few days of April 2024, what is happening in the mortgage market is, yes, unfortunately, rates have gone up once again as we see this never-ending, really sideways move. About 6 months ago, we were about here. Now, almost 8%, about 7.5% on the 30-year fixed. And now we went down, and we were almost at, we were going towards 5.75% on some of these loan products that were out there. We're pretty excited. First of the year happened, and then boom, we start to climb back up. And slowly but surely, we're now back up to, where's the rates here? 7.52%. This is a quote off of Housing Wire. You may be able to find a better or cheaper product, but on average, 7.5%, that's a big number, and that's really hurt affordability. Obviously, if you're out there and you're trying to find that perfect house at the perfect price with the perfect mortgage, well, you might get one of them. I can honestly say that housing, in terms of the amount of properties on the market, is better. It's better than it was last year. It's not as good as it was 2 years ago, and it certainly hasn't ever rebounded back to the levels pre-COVID. Now, that seems like ancient history, right, Darryl? I mean, COVID seems like so long ago to me that it's almost a non-consideration, yet we're still feeling some of those effects. What do you think?
Well, you don't even think about it anymore. You know, I mean, it was the big deal in your life for a long time, and all of a sudden it's gone and forgotten, and you know, now when you see somebody wearing a mask, you go, why?
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Now, I wore a mask, obviously, because I had that accident, and everybody can see who's looking at YouTube right now that I had gotten better in 1 week. Well, the country took about 2 years to get better, and so masks were everywhere prevalent, but we don't see those anymore. And that's a lot like what most of our economic news is. It's in the moment, it's very important, and then all of a sudden, poof, it's gone. Nobody remembers what it was. One of the things that we worried about for so long was the overbuilding and the manipulation in certain markets, whether it be the stock market, whether it be the housing market, whether it be other markets, whereby, and today we're sort of experiencing some of that with artificial intelligence, but where we would see this boom and bust cycle where things would get very hot and very, you know, expensive, and people were investing in it, and it was very exciting. Crypto was another one of these things. And then all of a sudden, the reverse happened, but nobody was interested. But the forgetting of the lessons of those particular economic boom and busts, why is it that we can't really see that and take advantage of it? I had a friend of mine passed away some years ago, but would always wait for those times whereby right after the boom era, there would be a bust, and there would either be a recession or that particular industry or how it would affect property values would come crashing into either your local neighborhood or the national market. And he would say, wait. You will know when it's time to get into the market and buy something. Don't buy something. This was his strategy. He did very well in life. I just think that in this situation with what we have now, as I quoted, the 7.52 30-year fixed rate loan, it is very difficult if you've got a young family or desire to get out there and get into the housing market. And we say all the time, it's better to get in and refi later, right? I mean, that's what the strategy has been in terms of the short versus long-term strategies of the real estate market. Sometimes it's better to wait, just to wait, hold and wait, save your money. These were the mantras of the way people bought houses back in the 50s and the 60s. There weren't no really fancy loan products, and most of the interest rates were well above 10 to 12%. I'm reading many stories lately about what was happening during the Reagan eras in the 80s or even prior to that, when Nixon was president or Carter was president. Now, we talk about it a lot on the show, but the interest rates were astronomical. And most of the transactions that were happening because you would have what the sellers called a seller carryback or an AITD type loan, whereby the money that you paid would be paid based on what the interest rate of the current mortgage holder had. And you would just pay them to continue paying off the note that they have, plus whatever was left over would be theirs. Are we there in that situation? No, we're not. We're at 7.5%. So historically speaking, obviously we talk about that sometimes. Historically speaking, the rates really aren't that bad. But if you are so used to, and I'm not the only one saying this, if I can figure it out who said it, there's a couple of people who, you know, are long in the tooth, so to speak. They're older people. People have been around through many of these recessions, many of these downturns, who say, hey, look, if you're thinking this is as bad as it can get, and the housing shortage is what it is, and the interest rates are up so high you just can't buy a house, and houses, even though the inventory is up, is the scarcity of the ability to pay for that loan through, pay for that mortgage through a loan that you've got to get. Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult to see because you're used to 3%, 2%, 4%, all these rate numbers in your head that you remember of COVID times. Even though you can't remember, like I just did, I can't remember what was the name of that time where we were all sick and wearing masks, right? It was COVID. But what we do remember out of that is 3, 2%, 4% mortgages. Yes, we all remember that. And there is such a hangover effect that it's killing the housing industry. Why do I say that? Because if you are a certain age and you have a 3% or a 4% mortgage, you're really going to get rid of that mortgage to go get something else that's 7.5%? I don't think so. So that's called the lockup rate, right? We've talked about this on the show many times. People are not willing to unlock or sell in order to go buy something else, either the step-up market or the step-down market. Either you're too old and you can't handle a house. I have a brother back east. He just is selling his farmhouse and his farm because he's of the age he just can't do it anymore. You get above 70. Hey, it's hard to get out there every morning at 6 a.m. and do the farm chores and the fixing and the mending and the feeding and the, you know, all the things you got to do. So he's selling, but he's going to eventually end up buying something in a tougher market, in a more expensive area. And, you know, but how many people like that are there out there? Not many. Most of the people that we talk about in our listening area, and KCAA is our particular station, AM/FM, and we have our show on the weekends, on Saturday and Sunday, so you'll be driving around, you'll flash us on like you're doing right now, listening to what we had to say about the local market or what's happening in the national sequence of events that drive mortgage rates up or mortgage rates down, or talk about the availability of product. All of these choices that you have in terms of what you're going to do, whether you're going to buy or sell, it's all really dependent on the cost. And my brother has said, hey, you know what, I got to do this because I can't manage the farm anymore. So I got to sell, and he's stuck. But like I say, there's not that many people like that. And so we have this lockup, and young people, millennials certainly, and certainly Gen Z, Gen X people, it's like, hey, we just can't help you. I can't make it cheaper. But again, historically speaking, it's really not that cheap. I mean, it's not that expensive. It is expensive, but it's not that expensive. The 15 years at 6.79%. The FHA is at 6.92, and the jumbo is at 7.33. Now, the spread between the 2 and the 10, the yields have been creeping up. Why? Nobody wants to buy this debt. Oh, my gosh, what is it, $32 trillion is the U.S. debt right now? Has really skyrocketed over the last 15 to 20 years, like quadrupled in, you know, in terms of what we owe. So buying U.S. debt, is it as safe as it was? I don't know. Moody's and Fitch, they all give it the same rating as, I think it's AA on one and AAA on the other, but it's investment grade, and so people are buying the debt. But at the same time, the yield has to go up and the price of the bond has to go down. These are bad things for the economy because it costs us more in the long run. So what are we doing about it? We're just issuing more debt and giving more money away. Now, everybody knows about what's happening around the world and trying to be peaceful and maintain our presence around the world in terms of the big guy with the most money and the most guns in order to keep the peace, which really helps out most people in those regions, but also us too here at home in terms of trying to keep us on foot to continue to go to work, continue to pay taxes, and, you know, continue the merry-go-round of what we're in right now, which is a high interest rate environment, a low inventory environment, and a way by which you have to continually ask, when is it going to change? And we'll get into that in the next section. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For questions or comments, send emails to info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks for tuning into the show, for listening to us on a weekly basis. If you do, if you don't, and you're first and new to the show, we talk about a lot of national things here on the first part of the show, when I do a couple segments. And then the latter part of the show, we bring some guests on to talk about local products available to you in the mortgage industry, or some of the other things that may be able to help you in your own business, whether it be loaning, lending money, borrowing money, or whether it be strategies by which can help you do better, do a better business, make more money, and live a better life. I know that there's so much of what we talk about on the show, and so let's just get right to it. The mortgage rate spikes as the economy remains strong. We talked about some of what Jamie Dimon had said. Jamie Dimon is the head of J.P. Morgan Chase. I've been there about 13 years, was through the last big recession, what they call the Great Recession now, 2008. And he's one of the most trusted people when it comes to talking about the economy and what's happening locally as well as nationally. He's also been around the longest in terms of CEOs and major players. And Chase, J.P. Morgan Chase is the largest bank in the U.S. So they have a lot to say about what's happening in the economy. And he says about the economy the same thing, that, hey, look, we've got to figure out what we're doing in terms of the debt of the country, in terms of how we're going to spend, the spending priorities, where the interest rates are going, and, you know, what are some of the headwinds, or what they call the negatives, in each and every quarter in 2024, because that's going to really set the stage for either a recovery, a continued recovery, or a downturn. Now, he expressed both things. He said, hey, look, you know, we've got some issues to deal with in terms of both the federal debt, which is choking out the lifeblood, i.e., the ability to borrow and lend money, because there's so much money going towards that particular issue, i.e., paying down the interest on the debt on a yearly basis has turned into a trillion-dollar proposition. Well, that squeezes out a lot of other, you know, a lot of other things that we could be spending the money on. So, anyway, I always like mentioning him because he's a really good person to judge really the middle of the road what's happening in the economy and how you can gauge what your decisions are going to be make about buying a house or getting a mortgage. He did say that the economy is booming. So for a conservative guy like him to say that, okay, it's like Larry Summers saying it, right? And he's the guy that's on Bloomberg, used to be in several administrations talking about the economy. He was on the Council for Economic Policy. He was in the cabinet, I think Clinton cabinet. Anyway, he's a very interesting guy, too. Another guy that says, hey, look, the economy's booming right now, but I've got a lot of concerns about national debt. I got a lot of concerns about where the mortgage interest rates are going, how we can get the Fed to lower rates. So let's talk a little bit about that. Okay, one in three. Okay, let's see. That's electric cars, stagflation. So we've talked some about what stagflation is, and this is one of the concerns of both Jamie Dimon and Larry Summers, talking about, if you have an inflation environment which exceeds your growth, your GDP growth, that's called stagflation, meaning that prices are inching up, but wages are not matching. And so, therefore, creeping little by slowly, the money that you have buys less. And we've all seen that. We've seen the many, many different reports about how food, about how housing or shelter is what they call it now, about transportation, all kinds of things that the price of what it was is not what it is. I'll tell you where I notice it the most. I go into gas stations a lot, right? Now, I talk about gas prices, and I don't want to belabor that point. Gas, yes, is rising. It rises, it falls, especially in a state like California where you're never quite sure what it's going to do or why it's going to do it. We have gas, we have oil, we actually refine both, and yet our particular gas keeps going up, even with the built-in dollar and a half of taxes. It's terrible. But where I notice it the most, I'm going to a gas station, is in the chips that I buy. Okay, now this sounds silly, right? Like, who cares? All right, well, if you were used to buying a bag of chips for a buck, and now you're paying a buck and a quarter, and next year you're going to be paying $1.35. You notice that. It's the things you notice that are annoying. Like, it's the 10 cents you pay for the bag at the grocery store. Why do I got to pay that 10%? And they always ask, do you want a bag? And I know everybody out there is thinking, I got to pay 10 cents for that bag. So the annoyance factor is one thing, but the actual cost of these items is another. I bought, I don't know, sports drink and, I don't know, maybe Twinkies or something. Something ridiculously, should be inexpensive. It was $3.54. I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. These Twinkies. Anyway, these things are the things that stagflation, where you can really see it mount up. Obviously, you're paying more for your housing costs, your rent, your mortgage. Although if you got into the low mortgage, good for you. But these are the type of things that not only show up, but also are in. They move people to vote a certain way. They move people to do things differently. If you have to pay more for that, you got to pay less or not pay at all. So have we seen the savings rate spike as a result? Not really. We still see the savings rate at about 4.5%. During COVID, it was about 6.5%. Now, the difference between the two is that we're not getting checks from the government anymore, and that's the difference. But people are still putting money away because they don't know what's going to happen if there's a rainy day or if something really bad happens, if we have a natural disaster. Speaking of natural disasters, was reading about what's going on in Florida, which really mirrors what's happening here in California in many ways. The property homeowners insurance that you pay on a monthly basis, i.e. your fire insurance, your other disaster types insurance, there's six different companies that have left Florida. Like California, where two or three or four companies have left. Now, there are a number of companies that are still here, but I think State Farm said the other day they're out of here. They're not going to do it anymore. And so if you're needing to buy a house and you have to get homeowners insurance, your choices are limited. There was another person, I don't know if you know who Susie Orman is. Everybody seems to know who she is. She's a financial person on either NBC, CBS, ABC, one of these channels. She has a show. She's been doing it for years. She's pretty good. She talks about, the same kind of things we talk about here, except she has more experience in directly talking to people about how they can save and what they should be doing. Has a great attitude. Anyway, she told me, well, not me, but she told in an article that I read, that she lives in a condo down in Florida. Excuse me, 2,100 square feet of condo. It's one of the beach high rises. You know, there's so many of them. There are many of them here in California. I mean, you can go down to Marina Del Rey, you can go down to San Diego, and obviously up and down Ventura and a bunch of other places along the coast of California, which is hundreds and if not thousands of miles long. And she said she was given a quote of $28,000 for homeowners insurance. $28,000. I mean, you got to be kidding me. $28,000. Anyway, she said, you know what? I'm not paying it. I don't care. I'll go without it. Now, that's brave because we know the way weather is affecting the way things happen all over California, whether it's the wildfires in San Bernardino, Riverside, whether it's the flooding that's happened this year as a result of the torrential rains, or in her neck of the woods, whether it's hurricanes or typhoons out here in the West Coast. Things are happening more frequently than they have in the past, and not to be able to have homeowners insurance is rough, because what happens if you get it wiped out? I had a fire that burned 600 houses in Malibu. That's where I live. 600 houses. If half of those houses didn't have fire insurance, you would have, how many, 1,000, 1,500 people less of housing this. But they all had homeowners insurance because you can't get a loan without it. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. I really appreciate you listening to the show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For questions or comments, send emails to info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, for listening to us on a weekly basis. Now, this particular show, we've been talking about a lot of things nationally, about what's happening in the economy, the fears and the anxieties out there, and there's a lot of them, as well as, the rising interest rates and lack of homes out there to buy and all kinds of different things. I want to shift gears just a little bit. This all is as important as what we have been talking about is if you've got a new business or you're in business for yourself or you work for a company that is looking for solutions to be able to up the, up the amount of money that you're making. I guess that's the bottom line to all businesses. Let's make more money. But how do you do that? And how do you take hold of something which can be unmanageable and manage it? We bring back to the show Mikey Pearson from Pearson Growth Solutions, who's been on the show before to talk about it. First off, Mikey, how are you?
I am well, Jeff. Good to talk with you.
Nice to talk with you as well. And I so appreciate the information that you send out on a weekly or a biweekly basis about how do you handle growth, how do you handle the management of it, and what we can do as small business owners to be able to implement some of those items. If you want to just address one of those things for me, we can get the ball rolling.
Well, I think, we're in an era that if you're not looking at how to evolve your business, you're probably in trouble.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's simply said. It's a changing world right now. If you don't know anything about AI, if
yep.
you aren't re-engaging your customers, if you aren't looking at your pricing, this is that time. This is a whole new world, and that's the way I like to approach it.
Okay, so I'm a small business owner. I'm like many people out there. We're fighting not only, as you say, AI and the technologies that bring competition more acutely to my doorstep, but we're also dealing with the social media, employee problems, getting people into work. What are some of the strategies that somebody who's, got 5 to 10 employees out there who's looking for a way not only to maximize their particular bottom line, but also to figure out how best to handle employment situations with your employees?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, it starts with the owner on a small company.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have some skills and ability to run a team and to lead them effectively. And so that's where someone like me comes in if that's a struggle. Other stuff you can hire out for. If you have HR needs for a small company, there's plenty of companies that'll help take care of that for you and keep you legal and keep you compliant and current. But ultimately, it starts with leadership.
Okay, so define leadership for us.
I love that.
You like that?
yeah, that's a good one. It's the person that leads. leadership is really the art of communication and working with people. It's all about people at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You can't automate everything.
Right.
So leadership is how you grow, evolve, incentivize, how you train, how you communicate with not only your staff, but really your internal staff, which is your employees, and your external clients, which is your customers. And that's what leadership needs to do.
When you see prices rising the way they have been rising, we call it inflation, but there's all kinds of inflation, some good, some bad. But as I was relating earlier, going into 7-Eleven and now paying $7 for something that used to cost you $2, it's annoying. And not only is it annoying, but for many people, it stops them from doing what they would like to do, and they get afraid and they start, hunkering down. How do you fight that in terms of business when you're out there trying to get people to spend money and they're looking around saying, maybe I should save money? What's the trick in that, if there is one?
Yeah, there's absolute, I guess, tricks. I don't know if it's tricks or just what you need to do.
Right.
And you got to know your metrics, and you have to have a dashboard to look at those metrics, and you have to do it consistently. So you got to know your expenses. You got to understand what they mean. You have to analyze them. You have to look at your income, make sure that your price reflects the reality of inflation or of rising prices. If you don't do that on a very consistent basis, you're definitely not maximizing what profit you can make. There's no other way around it. You have to shop with your vendors. You have to look at, what you're selling and how you're selling it and see if there's a better way, a cheaper way, if we just are doing things the old way, we might not be as efficient as we can in today's world. Like, for example, if some uses of AI are wonderful and can save a ton of time, things like writing job descriptions mm-hmm. and some sorts of letters, things that take people a long time can now take minutes.
Oh, I love AI in some respects, and other respects I don't, because it makes me lazy, because I can just type in, as you just said, a question. It just spurts out as much information or as less information in whatever format you want. So my creativity is down, but my productivity is up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and used right, I think AI can actually add to your creativity, because you can ask it a series of questions, not just one,
uh-huh.
and sort of lead it on deeper. And often I find that AI comes up with something I hadn't thought of, and I'm like, okay, I can incorporate that. That's pretty good. So I you know, I'm not all pro AI all the way, but mm-hmm. the reality is it's a valuable tool if you know how to use it.
Right. I recently switched companies and worked for a company who has a offshore solution to whatever employment calendaring that we do. But one of the downsides of that, as everyone knows, is, you know, it's just difficult communication-wise, because not only there's a time difference, but you also have a cultural difference, and a lot of the new ways that they're training people to speak to American customers is to be more rude. So what happens is I get angry because I'm an old guy, and how do you fight against that type of technology or the way the world is moving if you're not only a business owner, but just somebody trying to, you know, figure it out yourself?
Well, going offshore is a great thing to bring up. I think the people I know that do it successfully get good referrals on it, mm-hmm. because it is, how do you know? You know, and it depends what you want done can really make a difference, whether it's a personal assistant or marketing help or, you know, whatever it is. So mostly I see that successful when people get referrals.
I see. What do you mean by that? People get referrals.
Find somebody who's using it and having a good experience.
Oh, I see. Okay, that makes total sense.
Because otherwise, how do you know? Do you go to the Philippines?
Right.
Do you go to Argentina? Where do you even start?
It's so funny. Through the long career that I've had, over 30 years in the mortgage business, we've seen so much of this technology moving the industry forward. We recently had this court case and the NAR resolution to it, but it has left a lot of us holding the bag, meaning that what do we do now? How are we supposed to work? If I was representing buyers, now I don't represent buyers because buyers got to pay me. So how is this all going to work? Why is it that particular end of the business is so difficult now, and there doesn't seem to be any solution to it? Do you have real estate clients and people that you work with in that area?
Yeah, I do. And I know a ton of people in your industry. I think, as I understand it, I am not an expert here at all, but the reality is American real estate agents make way more than any other real estate agents in the world. And power to them. You know, I'm not mad at them. So the court case that went down was not in California. So its impact on California is a little unknown at this point. So I think when it comes to seismic shift like that, staying close to your associations is probably a really good idea, because they're going to be ones that really can help with the impact, which, you know, I don't actually know what it's going to be in California.
Yeah, I know, and I agree with you, other than what's been settled. And the lawsuits never really made it out here, because there has been this large settlement, especially with the larger real estate companies as well as National Association of Realtors. And we'll see if the case gets reopened or not. I just thought you might have some solutions. We've been talking tech solutions. We've been talking AI. And then a real-world problem comes up in an industry that has no solutions. Just wondering if there was any based on what we'd already been talking about.
You know, I think that's still evolving. That's
right.
A great question that you should keep exploring. I don't know that I'm a person who knows the answer on that, but I do sense with high interest rates that there's going to be a shift, and I'm sure you're experiencing it, in
right.
the industry, and how it settles out in a few years will be interesting to see, but I'm going to guess there'll be less people in your industry, to be honest.
Hey, could you shout out a way by which people can get a hold of you? That'd be great.
Well, you know, they can just call you and talk to you and I'm trying to help here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mikey Pearson. And so my contact info is, and it's kind of long, so I'll give it a go, but M Pearson, P-I-E-R-S-O-N, at focalpointcoaching.com.
M Pearson at focalpointcoaching.com. I got that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So thanks, Mikey. Thanks very much for coming on. I really appreciate the information, the insight, and obviously the expertise that you've had developed for years working in several different businesses. Thanks very much for coming on.
Anytime, Jeff. It's always good to speak with you.
Awesome. Thank you very much. That's Mikey Pearson from Pearson Growth Solutions. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For questions or comments, send emails to info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. Look, if you want to see us, hear us when it's not radio time on the weekends here at KCAA, you can go to themortgagevoice.com. That is our YouTube site, and we have hundreds of shows there, but each week we bring this particular show to YouTube. We have a lot of hits, a lot of people that just listen to us on YouTube. We're on a number of different podcasts. We have a website. It is themortgagevoice.com, and as I said, we've been on the air for about 10 years. Really appreciate the people in the Inland Empire in San Bernardino and Riverside counties and the surrounding communities up and down the 15 and certainly up and down the 10. Anybody who's local to those areas knows exactly what I'm talking about, so I appreciate everything that you guys do in order to listen to us and bring us happy and joyous and free and all that good things that we do because we're giving you the information that you need in terms of your mortgages and your real estate. But the guy who really we go to most of the time, especially in Rancho, is George Gonzalez. George Gonzalez is a loan officer and a real estate agent at Southland Mortgage. He joins us now. George, how are you?
Jeff, I'm doing excellent. How are you doing?
I'm okay, too. Thank you very much. We're just trying to figure out what the market is, where it's going, and if, in fact, we are ever going to see a turnaround in the mortgage interest rates. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the Fed chairman, Bernanke, has been teasing everybody in the market, this whole year, saying that there's going to be, I think, 3 or 4 interest rate cuts.
Right.
However, he has not come through with not one of them. And so, we're still lingering on in the same interest rate we've been, in the last 6-8 months where,
yep,
high sixes, low sevens on a 30-year fix for people with great credit and putting 20% down. We're still up there with the rates.
Yeah, I know, and I don't see any relief in sight, and I don't see any rate cuts either. I mean, whatever's happening to the economy, I think inflation is biting into a lot of people's paychecks, so they're not interested in buying anything, especially if the rates are high and there's lack of housing and the housing prices are high.
Well, and a good thing you brought that up, that word inflation is a big key into the interest rates. As a matter of fact, it's reflecting now as, the inflation is basically people spending, they continue to spend money as if, the economy was excellent as it was. And by doing that, but I'm noticing most people are using their credit card debts, okay? So their credit card is building up, and getting on to the next point is, I'm noticing my pipeline, it went from, maybe 1 or 2 second mortgages a month to now I'm getting 2 or 3 inquiries a week on consolidating credit card debt for clients.
And we talked a little bit off air about closed-end seconds. Is this what you're talking about?
Yes, sir. They're the new the new loans that are out there to help homeowners who have the equity that they have. However, they don't want to touch, their first mortgage that they have such a low interest rate on, that I got them, the low rate.
Right.
And so they don't want to touch it, but they need to get rid of these credit card debts. So the only way to do it is they're looking into these closed-end seconds. And the reason these closed-end seconds are so attractive is because they are 30-year fixed. They're similar to the first, except they're, they're seconds, and you don't have to worry about combining the two payments, making one whole large payment.
Hey, George, can you explain what the difference is between a HELOC and a closed-end second? I think there's some confusion in the marketplace about that, and What you're talking about is something more like a 30-year fixed rate loan, except it's a second.
That is correct. So basically, the home equity line of credit is the big term that everybody's using out there.
Right.
And what it is they allow you to get a home equity line off your house, and in the first year, you're allowed to draw about up to 50%. And then you have, that after the first year, after 12 months, you're able to grab the next 50% or how much you need as a draw as necessary. The difference in the term is basically it's amortized over 30, but the first 10 is interest only. And so you're not making, you know, minimum payments in the first 10 years. And then once we get to the 11th year, then you're amortized the balance over 20 more years. So the payment would go up at that time.
I see. Okay. And that would be for the HELOCs?
For the HELOC. And so the closed-end seconds, you get the full cash out immediately as you need it. And it's fixed for 30 at the go.
So you have the same payment every month then? Like you would on your regular mortgage. And what are these interest rates going for? Are they expensive? And how much money can you take out? All that kind of stuff.
Simply as they're Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac guidelines. So,
okay.
You know, we can go up to 80% on primaries. And, you know, you have to qualify. DTI comes into factor. They still make sure that you make enough income for both loans combined and your debts. So it's the same. You got to get a full appraisal. It all works out to the same. The interest rate, obviously, as you asked, is a little bit higher, depending again on how high the LTV is, the loan to value,
right,
and the credit score, just as Fannie's rules are. And you know, I would say typically 10% to 12.5%, depending.
And these particular loans, the loan amount is smaller, right? Obviously, you have your first loan, which is the big bulk loan, but closed-end seconds, they must be smaller, right?
I haven't had one larger than $200,000. Has been biggest one I've had so far.
I see. Okay. So in that case, the payments will be smaller just because the loan amount is smaller too.
Oh, that is correct. And then when I show them line for line how much they're paying on their credit card debts, which
right,
the debt isn't going down, they're just making interest payments on those, and we compare them with what the new second would be, it's a no-brainer, Jeff. They're thanking me. They're sending me. This is where I'm getting all my referrals.
I see.
And, you know, all it takes is just showing them, you know, line for line how much they can save by just getting a second and stop listening to the rumors, you know, everybody saying that loans are bad on the house.
Yeah, I you know what? There's so much bad information out there, especially if you're surfing around the net or you go through a lot of these social media sites. You really have to just step back and talk to a professional like yourself in order to get the real story.
It's, you know, it's all about experience,
right?
You know, experience, and you know that's big in this game because, you know, we're a dime a dozen these days. Everybody can go get their license,
sure,
but nobody can stack in 15 years of experience in their mind. You know, so that's the good one.
Okay, let's talk a little real estate. How is the real estate market out there? We hear rumors that we see more houses on the market than we did last year. I'm not sure that's true. And we also hear sometimes rumors about prices lowering. How is it in Rancho?
Rancho is, you know, a desired area to
yep.
live in, as you know. And so that one, we're still pretty, I'd say there's still, inventory is low in the desired area.
I see.
So they're not lowering the prices out here. They're still. I just seen a partner of mine sell her house or a listing of hers for $125,000 over asking up here in Rancho. So I'm just saying, and you know, and then that works both ways though, because then I have another broker friend in Victorville
yep.
who had to lower the price $50,000 because it wasn't selling. So it's, you know, the location as always. It's most important, and but. Yeah, the high interest rates have kind of calmed down the applications as far as this last few weeks or months.
Okay, so we hear many stories about employment and how employment is going to dictate whether the Fed reduces their rates or whether mortgage interest rates are going to come down. And it really comes down to what's happening locally. Do you see in your area more for sale? I mean, like businesses closing or businesses opening? Do you see much more activity? I mean, we have inflation, but is that stopping anybody from spending?
No, it's not. In Adel, it's not. You know, we have two malls right here. We have
right.
the Ontario Mills, the big mall, and
yep.
we have also Victoria Gardens while like, you know, 3 miles away from Ontario Mills, and consistent traffic. And, you know, we were at the mall the other day. It was with my wife, and we're like, wow, I thought we were in like a recession. I was asking her, you know, what the heck? But no, the mall was packed and everybody was just having their time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, I guess. But like I said, Jeff, a lot of the credit card debt.
Everybody,
everybody I've spoken to, you ask them about their credit cards, they're maxed out. They're all maxed out. And, you know, that's the next best answer, is to pull out the equity that you have.
Right.
Use it, you know, use it in your best position that you can. And most importantly, I'm trying to tell these clients that I'm closing, cut up those credit cards and throw them away.
Right.
Don't bring them out no more. You know, live in your means. Live in your means. Live in your means right now.
I agree 100%. George, we are at the end of it. Could you shout out a way by which people can get a hold of you in some of these great solutions that you have?
Yeah, you can call me directly at 909-900-9565. I'm sorry, 909-900-9565. You know, any kind of investments or real estate or home loans is my specialty.
Excellent, George. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Always appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
It's an honor.
Thank you. Oh, I appreciate that. That's George Gonzalez from Southland Mortgage. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the real estate and mortgage world, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For questions or comments, send emails to info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to see us each and every week. You can go to YouTube. Jeff Barton, the Mortgage Voice, is our show, and we've been on there for a number of years, hundreds of shows that archived, and you can kind of get a feeling as to what we do on a weekly basis if you've never seen or heard the show before. If you're hearing the show, you're on KCAA right now, either AM or FM signal, and we're all over the Inland Empire. San Bernardino and Riverside counties, really appreciate the crew out there. It helps us each week bring our message to you, and it is not easy to do that, and I appreciate the efforts of everybody who does bring us to you. Our show is really informational, trying to get you excited or at least educated about what's going on in the mortgage and the real estate world in the local area. Now, we talk a lot of national issues. The reason we do that is because so much of what is happening locally is really reflected in the decisions being made way above my head nationally. And the world events that are out there really shape decision-making, because people get caught up. Hey, listen, we are in the world of information in terms of both what's available to you online, but also in social media. And I hate the word, but there's no other way to describe what all those websites are that everybody goes to on a daily basis to look and see what other people are saying. And we either are nodding heads or we're viciously attacking the people who we're disagreeing with. This is what life is today. And so as a result, it affects your decision-making process. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice, and we're going to try to sort through some of that. We talked a little earlier about the mortgage rates and where they are. The 2-year rate, the 2-year bond today is at 4.939. We're almost above 5% again. And now think about that for a second. In 2 years, if you can get 5% on your money, that's pretty good. If you're in the stock market, you're probably going to average 10 to 15%. That's pretty good. But one thing about the stock market, which is a little different than the bond market, is the stock market is subject to a lot of different things. So you have to hire professionals. Those professionals that are going to do your investment for you, they charge you money. And they charge you money whether the stock market goes up or whether it goes down. That you have to figure in. It's like if you get an FHA mortgage, you have to figure in not only the rate, but you have to figure in the mortgage insurance premium that you have to pay forever. And it's about an additional 1.25 on your particular loan. So if today I quoted the FHA rate at 6.92, your nominal rate is going to be more like 7.92 or 8%, because you have to pay the mortgage insurance premium. Now, does it give you peace of mind that if you lose your job or whatever, that the insurance is going to pay for the property? Yeah, I guess so. But it's still an expense that you're going to have to deal with, and you're going to have to prove that you can pay it. So there's a lot of different reasons that we bring this kind of information to you. Main one is, as I said, informational. Just trying to give you a leg up on what's happening out there. Try to give you a better understanding so that you can make better decisions. Let's see. So home prices are up 6% year over year. Now, we have been saying, I've been saying on the show, you're going to see price weakness this year. You're going to see the house prices come down. You're going to see a bite into the labor force. And what does that mean? It means that there's going to be more inventory. And as a result of more inventory, prices are going to have to come down. I quoted last week, 30% of the market has seen price reductions all over this, the United States and certainly here in Southern California. And, of course, I come up with today and say 6% is what the housing year over year has gone up. It's going to cost you 6% more today than it did a year ago. Now, is that a sustainable type thing? No, but it's not the worst thing either. But it's still 6% higher. So it's not as bad as you think if you're a homeowner. Okay, let's just get into a couple things. Unearned increments in value that occur on your house. If you've been around this show for a long time or you're new to the show, over the last 5 years since advent of COVID, we have seen house prices increase by over 50% all across the board. So if you had a house that was worth $1 million in 2019, $1.5 million today. That is unbelievable. Did you earn it? Nope. You got lucky. Now, obviously, with inflation cutting into that, sure, I get that. But there's no greater inflation out there than your house value. And those people that have that, good for you. It's like the stock market I said earlier. If you've got money invested in the stock market since the last Great Recession, where the average, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, was at 7,500, it is currently over 38,000. And that's a very short time. 2008 to today is not that long. And to see, I don't know, what is that, five times your money raising in value, unearned, you didn't do anything to do that? Which leads us, okay, what's the difference between earned money and unearned money? And a great quote in a movie that I saw talking about gambling, saying that money won is much more enjoyable than money earned. Now, that is, of course, from a gambler. But is that true? Is that how you feel about it when you see unearned incremental growth in either your stock market or your house price? Do you feel good about that? I always wonder because there are times where I do and there are times where I don't even think about it. But I do know that if you're not in either the stock market or the real estate market, you can't get in on any of these unearned incomes. As Wayne Gretzky always said, you miss 100% of the shots you never take. And that's true. So there is a bit of a gamble in all of this, as everyone knows, and that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't get into it, because one, they have to hire a professional to do it in the stock market, or they have to hire a real estate agent. Brings us to the real estate lawsuit that's been out there and obviously been negotiated and worked out with the National Association of Realtors. I'm a realtor and a broker, been a realtor and a broker in several different states for 25, 30 years. I got to say we were underprepared, and we are currently being underserved by our groups, the California Association of Realtors, the National Association of Realtors, the Mortgage Bankers Association. All of these associations were blindsided or knew what was coming and made up like they had nothing to do with it. We weren't trained to be able to handle this kind of thing. But what it means to you as the consumer is you now are going to have to pay more money to get the type of services that you need. If you need legal services, you might have to pay a lawyer to be able to do that, or trust that the listing agent, the agent selling you that property, is going to give you the best advice. My own personal opinion is paying an agent something is better than going it alone or trusting somebody else. Attorneys have specific costs and fees involved with their work, and there's a whole contract situation with them in terms of their attorney fees. The real estate agent that you can hire to be able to help you is a lot like the loan officer who can help you in the same situation. Professionals, been doing it a long time, be able to jump in there and give you the best advice possible. It's going to cost. And that's one of the downsides of what's happened in this market. And we are now in a wait and see. How's it going to work out? This is a test market, and we couldn't be in a worse market to be able to do that. Rising costs mean limited funds available for closing costs, limited funds available for purchase price, and obviously, if you're a buyer, you don't want to pay any more than you have to. So you're in a quandary. Do I get the best advice possible? I'm going to have to pay for it. Or do I roll the dice and do it myself? That's a mistake. Or do I trust the listing agent? These are all bad choices. And so it's just one of the many things that we talk about that you have to be aware of so that you can say, hey, I'm into it, or no, it's not for me. All right, let's see. We got into that. Just quickly, in talking about some of the bad things that are happening in the U.S., and that's predominantly what the news is. It's not great news. It's not horrible news. It's not great news. I just wanted to give you a flash of what's going on in China, just so you can get your perspective as to the second largest economy in the world. Let's talk about China just a little bit. One thing that China does right is EV cars, electric vehicles. And just to give you a perspective as to where they are, it's one of the bright spots in their economy, which is dismal. 60% of car sales, electric car sales in the world are in China, 25% in Europe, 10% in the U.S. One in three new registrations in China are electric cars. The prediction, half of all cars sold in 2024 in China will be electric. Why can't we get cheap cars, electric cars here in America? Whether it's BYD, whether it's Chery, whether it's SAIC, the reason is that it has been painted as a national security threat by the Biden administration, so the importing of these cars would probably cost three and four times what they would in China. Therefore, the U.S. automakers, which have seen a decline in demand for electric car vehicles, are in a quandary. Do they compete on the cheap car market for electric cars, or do they go where the U.S. consumer? If you had electric cars at $20,000 a car, you'd see a lot more demand. I don't know what the answer is, but this is one of the things that is a quandary. Either we're going to try to fight climate change, or we're not. Or we're going to go America first and forget all that, or we're not. So it's a very confusing time for a lot of us trying to figure it out. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Really appreciate you listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.